please open your Bibles to the book of 1 John, chapter 4. In your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1324, 1324. We'll be reading verses 11 through 16. And the 16th verse is the text verse for this morning's message. We'll read the verses responsively. Shall we stand, please, as we always do for the reading of the Word of God? Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And let's pray. Father, it's certainly a delightful thing to be in the services here once again. Though we can count many, many times having been in this place and here on Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, Wednesday evenings, yet we come expecting each time a blessing and leaving each time knowing that Thou hast met with us again and Thou hast blessed us once again. And so we seek Thy help today. Bless us with an outpouring of Thy Spirit. Help those from the smallest to the oldest here to listen carefully and to be attuned to Thy Spirit as You teach us from Your Word and through our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, thank You for that wonderful, wonderful truth. The music has been so sweet this morning. Thank You for it. Now we come to the purpose of all of it, the preaching of the Word of God. Speak to our hearts as we speak and as we hear today. Amen. Brother Alter, who sang a minute ago, is one of that ever-increasing group of men who are members of our church who one time pastored. And he's been a member of our church for many years, but he was a pastor for many years. His health has not been too well. But I could not help but thank God again for those men who one time pastored and never come and set in judgment on me to think that I should do it some other way. These good, godly men scattered all over this building this morning who at one time pastored churches and now serve with us here. I thank God for him and for them. Now I want you this morning to listen to me. I've got 11 points to start off with. I've never seen this crowd so discouraged as you are right now. I have 11 points to start off with, and then I have 5 things to exhort you to do. And I've got to do all of that in 2 hours. And all 5 of those fellows that said amen will be sound asleep within 10 minutes, I promise. But I have very few things about me that I would suggest you copy or emulate. But on this subject I'm preaching this morning, I'll be honest with you, I know what I'm talking about. I'm an expert on this subject. I'm going to speak this morning on this subject. Hear me carefully. Loving God is simply letting God love you. Loving God is simply letting God love you. Now I want you very carefully to follow me as I give you a line. If you lose the first point, second point won't mean a thing. If you don't hear the first two, the third won't mean a thing. Everything is built on what has been previously said. So I want you to listen carefully. I'm going to use this microphone as I almost always do. And I want you to listen carefully as I talk to you on that subject. Loving God is really letting God love you. Set up straight. No one leave the service while I'm speaking. Listen carefully. A pastor came to me not many months ago. By the way, Mrs. Batter, I'm so glad to see you this morning. I meant to say that a while ago. She's been so ill for so long, and it sure is good to see you and your husband here this morning. I was traveling, and quite often this is asked me, but in a special way a pastor asked me recently. He said, "Brother Hiles, how can I love like you love?" And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "I wish I could love my people like you love your people." It's an interesting thing. Folks come to our pastor school almost always go home saying, "The main thing I learned was to love my people." And this pastor asked me, "Pastor, how can I love my people like you love your people?" They went on to say, he said, "How can I love others like you seem to love others? How can I love my wife like you seem to love Mrs. Hyams? How can I love my enemies like you seem to love your enemies?" That's the question he asked me. I'm going to answer him to you today. I like to talk to you wives a little careless about the love for your husbands and expressing that love. I like to talk to you men who are a little careless about the love for your wife and the expression of that love. I like to talk to you children this morning who rarely ever initiate an "I love you" to mom and dad. I want to talk to you. Listen carefully. Point number one. God loved me. God loved me. Now for this scripture, John 3:16 is not my favorite. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." I happen to be one on the world. But he said that could be an accumulated thing. I prefer John 11:5, where it says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." He called her by name. "For God so loved the world," that's good. Tell you something better. He loved Martha. Tell you something better. He loved her sister and loved Lazarus. Now that means he loves me individually. Personally, God loves me. All right, that's the first point. Point number two, because he loved me, don't leave me now. Point number two, because he loved me, God made a plan to save me. Now that plan was that he himself, after I became a sinner, or I was born a sinner, after man became a sinner, God himself came to the earth. Turn me down just a bit, please, men. P.A. men, turn me down just a bit, please. God made a plan whereby he could save me. Now that plan was this. Listen carefully if you don't hear a thing I've said. That plan was, first, I am a sinner. And by the way, so are you. Second, there is a price on that sin. And that price is eternal death, eternal separation from God, or the lake of fire, or the Bible calls it hell. You see, Brother Hiles, we live in an enlightened age that doesn't believe in hell anymore. If folks don't believe in hell, they don't believe the Bible, and that means it's a darkened age and not an enlightened age. But the second thing is, there's a price on sin. I said, number one, you are a sinner. I am a sinner. There's a price on sin, and that price ultimately will take us to hell. Point number three, God loved us enough to where he came to the earth in the form of a man and lived a perfect life, never sinned, went to the cross of Calvary and paid a price he did not owe, paid a debt he did not owe by suffering hell himself on the cross. That means I owe a debt I have not paid. He paid a debt he did not owe. That means if I will trust him as my Savior, realizing I'm a sinner and I'm lost and he paid my penalty for me, and accept his gift of eternal life, that means God transfers the payment that he made that he did not owe to my account, a payment I owe that I have not paid. And now then, there's the equation has been balanced, and I can become a child of God. And that's exactly the way I became a child of God. I became a child of God, and so did you if you were saved. Not by joining a church, not by being baptized, not by taking communion, not by living a good life, but simply by accepting Jesus Christ and his full payment for my sins on the cross of Calvary. I said, number one, hear me carefully, God loved me. I said, number two, God made a plan to save me. Number three, I trusted him and received eternal life. Now listen carefully. Don't leave me now. When I trusted him, I did not necessarily love him. You don't have to love God to be saved. You've got to trust him. Miss Howells and I flew up to a Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota Monday, and we trusted that pilot to get us there. We didn't even know him. Miss Howells didn't say to him as he got off the plane, "I love you." Come to think of it, she didn't say that to me either. But she did. We didn't love the pilot. We trusted the pilot. Loving the pilot didn't get us to Minnesota, Rochester, Minnesota. It was trusting the pilot that got us there. Now, everybody in this room, you trusted Jesus a long time before you loved him. Not only that, listen carefully now. I trusted him. I didn't love him. I trusted him. I didn't even know him. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know, present tense, whom I have believed, past tense. Paul is saying, I believed on him. Now I've come to know him. So you don't get saved because you know God. You don't get saved because you love God. You get saved because you trust God. Salvation is by faith. It isn't saved for by grace, it's saved through love. It says by grace, you're saved through faith. So you trust him. All right, I said point one. Listen carefully now. The more carefully you listen, the sooner we get out. And it looks like we're going to be here for a long, long time today. Point number one, God loved me. Point number two, he made a plan to save me. Point number three, I trusted him. Point number four, one day I realized his great love for me. One day I got to thinking what he did. And it dawned on me that he loves me. Point number five, I let him love me. Are you listening? I let him love me. Point number six, I opened the valve and received that love. Just like turning on a faucet. The love was there, but I did not receive it till I opened the valve by my awareness, and I let God love me. Let me repeat. Point number one, God loved me. Point number two, he made a plan to save me. Point number three, I trusted him. Point number four, one day I realized his great love for me. Point number five, I let him love me. Point number six, I opened the valve and received that love. Point number seven, his love then flowed into me. You can't love if you don't have love. And God is love. Hollywood is not love. Playboy magazine is not love. This sex-oriented generation is not love. The soap operas, that's not love. God is love. All right? So I opened the valve, received that love, and his love flowed into me. Now get this. I had no love until his love flowed into me. Now listen to me carefully. That means if you don't have the love of God in you, you can't love your wife. You may like your wife. You may enjoy your wife. You may be thrilled by your wife. But you do not have real love for your wife unless you have opened the valve and let God's love flow in you and then praise God through you to your wife. And the same thing is true about your husband. So, his love flowed to me and then I found his love flowing through me. Hear me carefully. As soon as I realized he loved me, and I let him love me, and I dwelt on the fact that he loved me, until then I had no love to offer. I love you because I realized he loved me and opened the valve that it let his love flow to me and through me to you. Are you following me? Then look like it. All right. I then had love to give back to him. I did not decide to love God. I did not decide to love my wife. I did not decide to love you. I decided to let him love me. When I let him love me, his love came to me and through me to my wife, to you, to my enemies, and even back to God. And you can't love God till you let God love you. So I had love to give to him. I had love to give to you. I had love to give to my enemies. Point number 10, so loving him is really letting him love me. Listen to me carefully. Loving him is letting him love me. Because when I open the faucet by my thought processes to let his love come to me, it flows through me to her, to you, to all of you, and back to God. So I only have his love to love with, and I cannot have his love till I let him love me. You don't know it, but you're hearing something this morning you ought to hear. 38 years ago. Illustration. 38 years ago next month, I became pastor of First Baptist Church. I didn't want to come here. We were happily situated in Garland, Texas, our home county, 22 miles from our home where Miss Howes grew up, 22 miles from where I grew up, 22 miles from our home church. We didn't want to come here. But as sure as I know that I'm saved, I knew God was leading us to come to First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. So we came. You were hungry. Listen to me. Listen to me. You were hungry to love somebody, you folks that were here then. You hadn't had a pastor for almost a year. And you were starving to death to love somebody. But I wouldn't let you love me. For 16 months, I wanted to go back to Texas. Have you been down there to Texas? Well, then you know why I wanted to go back to Texas. Have you gotten a good look at Indiana Harbor? But anyway, I wanted to go back to Texas. And I was your pastor, but I did not let you love me. And because I did not let you love me, I could not love you. After 16 months, one day I got on an airplane by myself, flew down to Dallas, Texas, to the airport. I rented a car, went out to my church in Texas, and in the wee hours of the morning, woke the pastor up and said, could I have the keys to the auditorium? I walked in the auditorium, and in the wee hours of the morning, I knelt there behind that pulpit, and I said, dear God, I'm burying Miller Road Baptist Church. I'm burying Texas. I'm burying my past here, and I'm going to go back and pastor the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. And then I came back. I did not love you. I let you love me. And as soon as I let you love me, I loved you. That explains what the first two commandments are. They asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, heart, body, soul. He said, the second is like unto the first. Love thy neighbor as thyself. What it mean? It means the second is akin to the first. The second is connected to the first. The second is tied to the first. Listen to me. What he's saying is this. You can't love me back till you let me love you. And the second is like the first. You can't love your wife till you let me love you. You can't love your people till you let me love you. You can't love others till you let me love you. So when I love God, let God love me. That means I'm loving God. His love flows through me. Back to him, it flows through me to her, it flows through me to you, and even flows through me to my enemies. Ask a question. Are you letting God love you? If so, you're loving him. Now let me show you how. You say, preach, okay, so far I follow you, but how do I let God love me? I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you. Five things. Don't miss it. Set up straight. Don't miss it. Listen to me. Number one, I'm going to ask you to give God 10 minutes a day. Let him love you. Now, how do you let God love you? Number one, take 2 minutes and do nothing but think of his great love. Just sit down there somewhere and say, I'm going to think for 2 minutes. Time yourself if you want to. He loves me. God loves me. The creator of the universe loves me. The sustainer of the universe loves me. He left heaven for me. He came to earth for me. He lived a homesick life for 33 years away from heaven for me. He was wrongly tried for me. Wrongly indicted for me. Wrongly convicted for me. Wrongly beaten for me. Wrongly crucified for me. I said 2 minutes a day. Stop and think. God loves me. That's the way you let God love you. Secondly, take 2 minutes more. 2 minutes. And just think about it. I'm sorry, thank him for it and praise him for it. Now, folks, I'm telling you this morning how you can love. You're not going to love till you let God love you. And you're not going to let God love you till you give God some time to think about his love and then thank him and praise him for his love. That means this. I sit down and I say, God loves me. God loves me. Me, the great creator of the universe. We send a little machine up to Mars. When I get my glorified body, it won't take me 10 seconds to get there.
He loves me. The man that made Mars, the one that made Mars, he loves me. Did you hear me? God loves me. And then take 2 other minutes and say, well, glory. Well, praise the Lord. Well, hallelujah. Well, amen. Woo! God loves me. 2 minutes. That's all you got to do.
Some of you did it, you'd have a heart attack. And I'd love to be there to see it. You don't have to scream it, just go whoopee. But praise Him because He loves you. Hey, I'm telling you how to let God love you. You think about it for 2 minutes, and then you praise Him and thank Him for it for 2 minutes. And thirdly, you sing about it for 2 minutes. You sing about it. Every day I take 2 minutes, at least, so I do it twice a day. I take 2 minutes to think how God loves me. I take 2 minutes to praise Him and have a spell because He loves me. I take 2 minutes to sing about it. What do you sing? Jesus loves me, this I know. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Love lifted me. Love divine, all love excelling. Every day take... And I'm telling you how you can love your wife like you ought to love her. I'm telling you how you can love your husband like you ought to love her. I'm telling you how you can love your enemies like you ought to love them. And most of all, you can love your God like you ought to love Him. But you've got to let Him love you. 2 minutes, think on it. 2 minutes to praise. And then 2 minutes to sing about it. And then 2 minutes to repeat it. This, I go through this twice every day. I think for at least 2 minutes about His love. Now that's letting Him love me. I praise Him 2 minutes for His love. That's letting Him love me. I sing 2 minutes about His love. And He don't like that. And that's letting Him love me. And then I repeat it out loud. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. We're out in the backyard of the night. What's that flower you got out there that you use the petals on? Daisies. Miss Howells picked up a daisy. As you were going, He loves me, He loves me not. He loves me, He loves me not. He loves me. I won't tell you how it turned out, but she wouldn't speak to me for 2 hours. Repeat it. He loves me. 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 Ladies and gentlemen, the Creator of the universe, He wants you to love Him, but He knows you can't love Him till you let Him love you. Take time to soak it in. It'll flow through you to somebody else. 2 minutes, think about it. 2 minutes, thank Him and praise Him for it. 2 minutes to sing about it. And then 2 minutes to repeat it out loud. And then 2 minutes to tell somebody He loves you. Tell somebody. Every day. I tell at least one person every day just that word. God loves me. He loves me. Let me tell you who loves me. God loves me. Let me take about 5 minutes and tell you what I'm talking about. Mrs. Hiles is, and I have been through some trying days lately. She had everything's wrong with her. I've tried to get some new parts, but they don't have any more, and that old, and I'm older than she is, but there's several things. First place, a little spot on her lung. And second place, a little growth on her thyroid that at least they took a biopsy to see if it's malignant cancer or not. And then she was diagnosed as having lupus. About 4 weeks ago. Thank God for Dr. Streeter. He suggested that we go to Mayo Clinic and go to the top rheumatologist there and check it out. There's about 5 different things could have been wrong with her, and we felt for sure she had lupus. The same thing that our daughters had and suffered with for so long. We went to Mayo Clinic. She took all kinds of tests Tuesday and Wednesday. And checked for lupus and the spot on the lung, I think. And electrocardiogram also showed her heart had an irregular beat. 5 different things, any one of which could have been serious. So we went from doctor to doctor and room to room. And I was nervous as a cat. I'm using a movie term, as a cat on a hot tin roof. But I had all the tests. And then she went in for the biggie, the rheumatologist. And that's the fellow that checks for lupus. And I waited out there, 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 and finally she came back. And she said, the doctor said, I don't have lupus. I mean, it's a big waiting room out there, a bunch of people waiting. And I said, you better hug me tighter, I'm going to run around here and have a spell. And I started crying, praising God. I said, hug me tight. I said, the last time I felt like this was when that guy quoted Revelation at pastor school. Man, we had a little revival. She even said, praise the Lord herself. No, she said, praise the Lord. But then it got a little worse. They took a biopsy to see if she had malignancy on this growth on the thyroid. And for a whole day we sweated it out. Going to get the report the next day at noon, Thursday at noon. We're sitting in the room and I called the nurse Thursday about noon. And she said, I'll check with the doctor and call you back. She checked with the doctor that was a head doctor over Ms. House's case. And she called back and said, Dr. Friggis has checked with the doctor that took the biopsy. And she said, it's not conclusive. She said, the doctors have to confer, and we'll let you know in about an hour. Hour passed, 2 hours passed. I finally called back, couldn't wait any longer. I was sitting there just like that. You know how much faith in God I have, and the phone rang. She said, they're still checking. They've got to see if they have to take another biopsy or not. Confirming. Finally, I called back and I said, we got to catch an airplane if we can. And we need to know. And she said, I'll call you right back. And she did. She said, the doctor specialist said, go on home. Have it checked in a year. No cancer. Man alive. I became a Baptist-costal. While she was in there packing, I went out in the hallway. I want to see somebody. I want to tell somebody. There's a maid out there. I walked up and I said, ma'am, I got good news to tell you. We thought my wife was seriously ill. My wife's going to be all right. She said, no speaker English. I said, I don't care. Don't tell you anyhow. Thought she had lupus. They thought she might have a cancer. And she's all right. They got on the elevator to go downstairs, get a bite to eat. A couple on the elevator. I said, I want to tell you something. My wife here, we thought she was bad sick. But I said, she's well. Doctor just gave us a good report. Went down to the coffee shop. The little waitress came up. I said, before we order, I got something to tell you. I said, my wife here, we thought she was critically ill, but she's okay. We're going to go home. She's okay. I was a nut. I'd have made Blackwell look like an Episcopalian rector. We went back to the elevator again. I went to a department store to buy something. The little plaque said, my husband and my dog are missing. Reward for the dog. Miss Howes wanted that. I wish she'd been sick. We went to this little department store. And I said, ma'am, I said, I got something to tell you. I said, my wife, we thought she was bad sick, but she's not. She's going to be okay. And she rejoiced with me. We went to the gift shop. Then back on the elevator. And I witnessed on the elevator, too. Not about Jesus, about my wife. Before we left, we decided to go to Taco Bell and get us a burrito supreme. Have you ever eaten a burrito supreme? I'll guarantee you, Brother Cotso, Miss Cotso, if you'd ever eat a burrito supreme, you'd never eat health food again in your life. We went up there to that Taco Bell. It's inside there in the hotel and basement. Well, and I said to the lady, I got something to tell you. I got some good news. What is it? I said, my wife was bad sick. And I said, we just found out a few minutes ago she's going to be all right. We testified together there for a while. We went to the hotel desk to check out. I said to the little clerk there, I got something to tell you before we check out. I said, my wife, we thought she was bad sick, but I said, she's okay. We just found out about it. I had the whole hotel and all of the shopping area buzzing about Ms. Hiles being well. The bellman came to take her luggage out to the cab. I said to the bellman, let me tell you something great. I said, my wife, we thought she's got bad sick, but she's okay. And we got in the cab. I said, the cab driver, I got some news to tell you. Now, we thought my wife was bad sick, but she's okay. Went to the airport. There was an agent there at the desk. We checked in. I said to her, I got some good news for you. My wife's okay. We thought she was bad sick. She's okay. I went to the washroom, told everybody in there. My wife's well. Got on the airplane. I said, stewardess, I got something to tell you. What? I said, we thought my wife was bad sick, but we just found out she's okay, and I'm having a spell rejoicing. She goes and says, I'm going to bring you a bottle of champagne. Let you celebrate. But I never enjoyed anything in my life like I enjoyed that. I said, man, we're teetotalers. We don't drink. I said, Dr. Pepper gets us high. She came back with two cans of Diet Dr. Pepper and said, celebrate! And we celebrated there on the airplane. When I was a boy, I learned how to love. My daddy left us. We lived in poverty. And I'd go out on the curb. I'd sit down on the curb and I'd think, God loves me. He loves a poor little ghetto-bound boy whose daddy's a neighborhood drunk. He was about to starve to death. I let him love me. And as I let him love me, his love came to me, through me. And forgive me for saying it, you're the recipients of it. I said, tell somebody. Convicted. If I'd tell everybody like that, my wife's well, why wouldn't I be just as willing to tell everybody that God loves me? This morning, you want to love your wife like you should. If you want to love your Sunday school class like you should. If you want to love your husband like you should. Your children like you should. Your parents like you should. Realize that God loves you. Let Him love you. Open the valve. Take 10 minutes a day. That's one third of it. Of a television program and probably 1/6 of a dirty Oprah program. Take 10 minutes a day to think of His love, praise Him for His love, sing of His love, tell others of His love, and then that love will flow to you and through you. For He, God, is love. We love Him, that's my text, because He first loved us. But that love cannot get to us till we open it. 10 minutes a day. Think about it. Praise Him for it. Sing about it. Repeat it. And tell somebody. I promise you to take 10 minutes a day to think of nothing but the love of God. And I'll promise you that you will be loving God by letting God love you. And that love of God will flow to you, but God's love never flows to, it flows through. And that love will flow through you. I say to that pastor, I said to him, much what I said to you, I said this, I said, if you want to love your people, you love God. But he said, what is loving God? I said, it's letting God love you. For you cannot love Him back till you receive His love, which flows through you and back to Him and through you to other people. This whole country is dying for love. Dying for it. some of you men, your wife is starving to death for love. Some of you women, your husband is starving to death for love. You just let God love you. And God will send His love to you and through you. And then you can love Him back and love your husband and love your wife and even someday learn to love your enemies. God loves you. Did you hear me? God loves you.
Did you? Let's go back to that second point. He loves you so much.
He came to earth in the form of a man, lived a perfect life, never sinned,
paid the debt for sin on the cross, a debt He did not owe in your place.
You'll trust Him as your Savior. You'll transfer that payment He made to your debt, and the equation is balanced. Would you bow your heads, please? No one leaving, of course.